and his name is victory. His name is powerful. The name of Jesus, I am an honored man. King of all kings, no one in heaven like him. The name of Jesus, I'm a wonderful man. No one in heaven. Lift your hand, tell the name of Jesus. I am a King of all kings. No other name. The name of Jesus. I am a Alpha and Omega. Alpha and Omega. Come on. Hey, hey, come on. Hey. Every other country is better than dead. Jesus died and rose again. Lift your hands. In your name.
Yes, Lord, we magnify you, we magnify you, we magnify you. We worship you, Lord. We speak your name, Father. Oh, blessed be the name of the living God. Hallelujah. 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 I will thank God for this day that is made for you and I to rejoice and be glad. I thank God that He's faithful and His power is everlasting. You say, what does that mean? That means His power will never abate. It will never be weakened. The power of God continues to be strengthened. It continues to be increased. And this day, the power of God is being released into your life, and miracles are happening right there where you are, right here where I am. God is God and He reigns forever. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, You know, here in Winnipeg, in Manitoba, there's a shutdown, a lockdown. But I thank God His power cannot be locked down. Now, thank God, you know, so many years ago, about 20 plus years ago, I was ministering the word right here. And the Lord spoke. He said, get on the internet. And I said, Lord, actually, the first words He said were these words, get cameras. That I could understand. But then He said, for the internet. I said, for the internet. What does that mean? These are the days way back. There are no videos on the internet. The days of dot matrix, you know, we had those white papers, and when you type a word, you know, you type the word, the letter A, it goes. And the Lord's saying, get cameras. I couldn't get it. But that was the first reason I got cameras. Not for television. We were on television at the time. We had a group that came here, a studio that came here and took our videos and recorded for us and helped us out in so many ways. But today, here it is, all around the world, this gospel, just like He said to me so many years ago, was going to be preached through the internet in the last of the last days. Though there is a shutdown, you can hear me right where you are in your homes right now. We still have in church. This thing cannot be shut down. It cannot be kept down. I pray today that there will be an explosive work of grace in your life, in my life, in all of our lives. And that just like this stream is going out, that there will be a stream out of the rivers of living waters flowing out of the body of Christ that will begin to spread from place to place to place to place, through the dry lands, the arid places, through the places, cities and towns and villages, everywhere, wherever men are, that the word of God will go forth even now. As my voice is being expanded now through this medium, I declare miracles in your life. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Well, Mama is not able to be with us today because of the shutdown. We have a limited amount of people that are supposed to be here that are assisting in this particular broadcast and streaming, and but she has a passage of scripture she wants me to read to us today. Psalm 27. If you may go to Psalm 27, it says, "The Lord is my light." I thank God for that. And my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Isn't that interesting? The Lord is my light. Whom shall I fear? In other words, when God is your light, there is no reason to be afraid. The word of God is a light, is a lamp unto my feet. The Lord is the strength of my life. Oh, glory to God. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Isn't that interesting? The Lord is my light. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Can you see the connection there between light and strength? That the light of God is the strength of God. The first manifestation that we see of God doing what He's going to do is that He said, let there be light. Let my strength be made manifest. And you know what? He says that you and I are the light. Glory be to God. So God is saying that I am his strength in the world. Be the strength of God in the world. He's clothed in majesty. He's clothed in strength. Psalm 93 says, child of God, hear this. We're going to pray in a moment. He says, the Lord reigneth. In Psalm 93:1. The Lord reigneth. He's clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. Wherewith he girded himself, the world also is established. It cannot be moved. Did you see that? That's exactly what he did in Genesis chapter 1. He established the earth. He put it in proper order. That which confusion had brought in place, God, by his word, fused together in proper order. Psalm 27 and verse 2. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. In other words, the agenda of the enemy failed. So shall it fail now. Everywhere around you, in the mighty name of Jesus, every satanic agenda fails right now. When the enemy came to consume me, whatever enemy is, that is, whether it be people, demons, or things, viruses, they stumble, they fail, they fall. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. Oh, glory be to God. In what am I going to be confident? Verse 4, one thing. Have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The plan of the enemy to shut us out of the temple of the Lord fails. This one thing have I desired of the Lord. And I know that so many of you in your homes right now, there's one desire, one burning passion inside of you. You desire to be in the house of the Lord. May the Lord grant the desire of your heart in the mighty name of Jesus. You want to inquire of the Lord in his temple. Yes, you can do it in your home. Yes, you can do it in the barn, in the car, wherever it is that you are, you can do it. But there is a beauty in being in the house of the Lord. A dear daughter, I asked her the other day, I said, did you watch online? She said, yes, I did, but it's not the same. I thought, wow. It's the same word. There's something about being in the house of the Lord. And I declare in the name of Jesus that the doors will break wide open and that you will have that desire of your heart. He says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. What a wonderful verse. I encourage you to listen to the message the Lord gave to me to bring to us on Psalm 91. Captioned Psalm 91 Revisited. And you'll have a deeper understanding of this verse. The next verse says, "And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies," every enemy, the enemy of sickness and disease, the enemy of lack, the enemy of confusion and the troubles that come. "Now mine head shall be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore," this is powerful, "therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." May this prayer, this declaration be fulfilled now, speedily, in the name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord, that you be able to come into the house of the Lord and bring him the offering, the sacrifices of joy. Hallelujah. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let your word be fulfilled in the lives of your people. Our cry, O God, is unto you, the author and finisher of faith, the God who heals, delivers, and sets free. Lord, O God, our world is plagued with so many issues. We're surrounded by so many enemies. But Lord, O God, we are confident of this. Father, O God, that there is safety in you. We find our security in you. We thank you, Lord, O God, that your hedge of protection surrounds your body. And Lord, O God, that even now, as the rage of the enemy is going forth all around the world, that Lord, O God, because of your presence, when this wild dog charges and it beholds us, it stops in its track and runs away, because the greater one, you are God, you are in us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for that anointing that came upon a young David that caused him, O God, to slay the bear and tear apart the lion. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, O God, for your glory is resting upon your people. And Lord, O God, we are wilder than the wildest. Oh, blessed be the holy name of the living God. We are stronger than the strongest. Lord, O God, whatever the enemy tries to raise up, Lord, O God, we trump over that enemy because your hand is upon our lives. We give you praise, Father, and we celebrate with great joy in your house, not only in this house made out of stones, but in this body, this temple. We rejoice, O God, in you, and we say, O God, your name is higher than any other name. Thank you, Father. Meet the needs of your people and speak, O God, your words through this vessel, even now. In Jesus' name, I declare so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God for his faithfulness and the privilege once again to present the word of God to us, the people of God. A few days ago, Mama and I were ministering via Zoom to people scattered all around the world. One of our spiritual daughters that lives in India invited us to speak. And they had a particular passage of scripture in mind that they wanted us to address. And We did. Mama and I did. And as I was getting ready, seeking the heart of God to hear what he will say to us today, he said to me, I'm not done with that passage. I want you to go back. There are things I want to say to my people. So, today, I want to visit with you the book of Joshua, the 14th chapter, beginning to read from verse 6. There is something I believe that God wants to say to us from this passage of Scripture today. I want you to get your seatbelt buckled because you're going to be all over the place. I'm sure of it. There is something God wants to say, and I ready myself for it by the Spirit of God. You know, one thing I've come to settle in myself is this. You know, once upon a time, I think I was arrogant enough to think that any time I open this word, I can preach whatever I want to preach. Because I knew it. I have come to the conclusion that that is not true. I came to that conclusion when I started reading the Word of God and recognized that if God did not open His Word out to me, that it was just literature. It was, oh, that's good. That's nice. And then when God begins to read and speak His word, all of a sudden, those words come alive. He said, when did you come to that recognition? Well, I've always known that to be true. But you know, you can be in ministry so long, and I've preached so many times that you think, I got this, I got this, I got this. No. Anybody that think at any level that they got it, really doesn't. They don't. You really don't know until God unveils His word to you. And that means that anytime you're listening to a man or woman of God that is carrying the staff of God's authority, that you cannot assume that you know what he's going to say. That you keep your ears open and your eyes open to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Because God is still speaking. And you need to be silent before him and hear what he has to say. The Bible says here, in the book of Joshua, the 14th chapter, beginning to read from verse 6, it says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee, in Kadesh Barnea. You know, he says, what God said concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Moses, you know. You know what God said. You know what God said about me and you, Moses, in Kadesh Barnea. What is Kadesh Barnea? Kadesh Barnea is a holy place. It's a place that is separated and is made holy, even in the midst of the wilderness. It's a holy place in the wilderness. It means that though things may be arid and dry everywhere, that there is a place, a holy place, where God speaks, where God releases revelation, insight, understanding. Said God spoke something. And it goes on. He says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. From a place of holiness, send me out to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. I want you to hear those words. I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. The next verse says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. I want you to make note of that word. But I wholly, completely followed the Lord my God. And Moses sworn that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever. Why? Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. There is an inheritance for you and for your children. And it is forever because you followed completely the Lord. Wow. And now behold, the Lord had kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years. The Lord has kept me alive, revived me, rejuvenated me, restored me. These 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day. I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Next verse. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou hearest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And finally, Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. This is the story. Caleb, Joshua, and 10 other Hebrew men had gone into the land of promise. They went there, They saw the land, and they brought out of that land a great harvest. Bunch of grapes that had to be carried by two men. There was so much resource in the land. And when this man came back, they said, it's true. That which God said, we have seen with our eyes. But not only did we see the manifold blessings that the land flows with milk and honey, but we also saw something else. We saw giants in that land. And when we saw those giants, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, they said. That land over there, that promised place over there that God said we can possess, it's a place that eats up the inhabitants thereof. What a lie. If it eats up the inhabitants thereof, why are there so much resources there? If it eats up the people in that land, who is living there? The Bible tells us there were giants in the land, and that's why they saw themselves as small, little grasshoppers. Oh my. This is a switch of destiny. Because God speaks differently. And I'll show you in just a moment. So yes, Caleb and Joshua, they say to Moses, it is true the land is like that, but we are well able, we are well equipped to take it. But the 10 that seem to be the majority got the hearts of the people to melt. The people that had seen the miraculous, experienced the power of God, were now wilting in the presence of the lies that the natural eyes beheld. Joshua and Caleb saw not only with their natural eyes, they saw with their spiritual eyes what was possible in God. Today, I want to challenge you. What do you think about your life? Do you see yourself defeated? Do you see the circumstances around you and you say, well, I don't know. I don't think it is possible. Or do you have something bubbling inside of you that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Because the difference is in how you choose to think. Whose report are you going to believe? The children of Israel believed the report of the 10 rather than the declarations of faith of the 2. When God stepped into the situation, something else began to happen. Let's look at Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Taking it up from verse 26. It says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. We have proof. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The people that dwell there are strong. And the cities are walled and very great. Notice, God, what God said is true, but nevertheless. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Amorites are those that are speaking. They say their prophetic statements. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. These ten are just speaking and speaking and generating fear in the hearts of the people that caused them to rather stay in the wilderness than step into the promise that God has for them because of fear. The Lord is the light of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? Of what shall I be afraid? They forgot about the word of God. And the Bible says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Caleb stood up and said, okay, hold it. Guys, stop it. Be quiet. Stop being afraid. It's okay. Yes, everything that you've heard is true, but just hold it. Let us go, he says. Up at once. And possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. We are well able to overcome all these obstacles. Yes, there are obstacles, but we are well able to overcome them. Do you know that you are well able to overcome whatever challenges you are facing? Yes, we are not denying that there are challenges. We are not denying that there are problems. We are not denying that it's a virus that's raging in all the world. But what we do know is this, that God's power is available to us and we are well able to overcome it in the mighty name of Jesus. Well able to overcome whatever challenges there might be. We're not burying our heads in the sand. No. There are viruses. There are sicknesses, diseases, challenges of every sort. But we are well equipped to overcome it. Says, but the men that went up with him, those that went up with him, said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. That's what he said. They're stronger than us. What are they looking at? They're looking at the fact that they were giants in the land. And the Bible says, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. Where did these giants come from? These possibly were part of the corruption that came about when angelic fallen angels began to relate with the women, and they had children that were giants. The idea was to pollute the lineage of the Messiah. Somehow, that same spirit was still operational. And here we have the sons of Anak. Who are these sons of Anak? What does this word mean? Anak means to be long-necked. But interestingly enough, on the other side of Jordan, the children of Israel were going to meet Og, two kings, Sihon and Og. Og happens to be a long-necked giant, one of the last of the giants of Rephaim. These people were going to face giants. But the fact is that God was greater than any giant. These people were the ones that God sprung out of Egypt. God parted the Red Sea for them. God brought water out of the rock for them. God shielded them by the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. God gave them manna and quail and fed the multitudes of them. God brought water out of the rock to quench their thirst. They did not see that the same God who's been keeping them through all of the experiences that they've been going through, that same God can see them through this next challenge. As a pastor, so many times, face challenges. I look at what resources I have financially, and I have this big mega problem facing me. What am I going to do? I remind myself, I have a God who said, I'll meet all of your needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I stretch my hands to God. I say, God, I place this situation before you. You saw it before I got here. And I know this need is met already. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. And that need is met. And the next one is met. And the next one is met. But do you know that every time I come to that same kind of a challenge, something tells me, how are you going to have this problem solved? What are you going to do now? How are you going to get this situation corrected? And I have to remind myself again that the God who did it before will do it again. That the God who was is the God who is and the God who shall always be. The I am that I am. It doesn't matter what challenge you're facing today. God is still the I am that I am. He's the God who will meet you at the point of your need and show himself strong on your behalf. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never changed. He's the unchanging changer, and he's on your side. And child of God, today I want you to know that no matter what your challenges are, there's a God who is bigger than any problem you'll ever face. He's a God who hides you in that secret place and plants your feet upon the solid rock to stay. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I have this word to bring to you today, that God is greater than your biggest problem. And not only is God bigger than your biggest problem, God is making you bigger than your biggest problem. They said, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. How we saw ourselves, that's how they saw us. What are you saying about yourself? Do you know that what you are saying and what you are seeing yourself to be is what you are becoming every day? That if all you see about yourself is nothing good is going to happen in my life, that's exactly what you're going to get. That what you say about your marriage is what you're going to get. What you say about your children, that's what you're going to get. What you say about your business, that's what you're going to get. What you say about your church, that's what you're going to get. What you say about your finances, that's what you're going to get. What you say about your health, that's what you're going to get. You can turn your situation around. By what you decide to see. As a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh, so is he. What thoughts are you thinking about yourself right now? The Word of God goes on. In the 14th chapter, beginning to read from verse 20. In Numbers 14:1, the people are weeping, they are crying, they are overwhelmed. And the Bible says they wept that night. In verse 20, Bible says, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, watch this now, watch this. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. All the earth, in spite of what you are saying, all the earth is going to be filled with my glory. This is God's perspective. As long as I am alive, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Now, while all the earth is filled with the glory of the Lord, are you going to be operating in that glory? It's a decision. Watch this, watch this, watch this. It says, because all those men which have seen my glory, they saw the glory of God. They saw it. And saw my miracles, which I did in Egypt, which I did in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times. 10 times. 10 times representing they have tempted me completely, wholly. And have not hearkened to my voice. They've not hearkened, listened, paid attention to what I've been saying. Surely they shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers. See, all the earth shall be filled with my glory. But those who do not listen to my words, they are not going to step into my inheritance. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. You're not going to see it. Provoke me, you're not going to see it. But my servant Caleb. Wow. I want you to notice what it says here. But my servant Caleb. Why is it Caleb? Because Caleb is the one who stood up and said, let's go and possess it. We are well able. He says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. Because he had another spirit with him. Because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully. Because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully, him will I bring. God says, him, Caleb, who's followed me fully, because he had another spirit with him, him will I bring into the land wherein unto he went. And his seed shall possess it. Why? He followed me completely. He had another spirit. Interesting enough, God was addressing Caleb. Why? In the 14th chapter of Joshua, Caleb said that for 45 years, God has kept him, and that now he's 85 years old, and that he was just as young then as he was at the time he got the word. Watch this. Verse 10 and 11. And now behold, the Lord had kept me alive. God said, I'm going to take you in, Caleb. God has kept me alive. In other words, it didn't matter what the attacks were. God kept me alive. God rejuvenated me. God revived me. God renewed me. These 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day. I am just as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, 45 years ago, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. What's the point? The man is saying, I'm still young. Caleb, you're still young? Yeah. Well, let's look at Joshua chapter 13. Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1, we read these words. Now Joshua was old. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old. When God says you're old man. You're really old. Caleb says, I'm young. What's the difference? Why is Joshua getting older and Caleb is staying young? There's a secret, child of God. Joshua is aging, that even God has to say, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. In other words, Joshua, the assignment I gave to you, I don't think you're going to be able to complete it. What? Why? Caleb was the one who stood for the purposes of God and said, this is what we can do. We can do it. We have been equipped to do what God says we can do. Joshua only received the word, the assignment, that God had to remind him again and again about what he needed to do to fulfill his assignment. There is something about a Caleb anointing. Oh yes, Joshua has a whole book written by and about him. We don't have the book of Caleb. No, we don't. But who is Caleb? Who is this man? Caleb. What does this name mean? Interesting enough, the name Caleb has two meanings. One meaning is Caleb, a dog. A dog. D-O-G. A dog. Jesus says, the bread that's meant for the children, dogs should not get. But a woman says, you're right. But the crumbs that fall off the table, what about that? She says, I've not seen this kind of faith, not even in Israel. The centurion says, no, you don't need to come to my house. Just speak the word only, because I am a man under authority and I know you the same. If you just speak the word, just like I speak, and my servants come and go based on the instruction that I give, I know that when you speak the word, my servant is going to be healed right there. In other words, I know something and I'm applying what I know. You see, the Caleb anointing is the anointing of taking what you know and making full use of it. Recognizing that the word of God says, my youth is renewed like the eagles, and you say, yes, my youth is renewed like the eagles. If you don't grasp the word of God and pull it to yourself, you can have every kind of grace and you will still struggle. You just have to hold on to the word of God, cleave to the word of God, embrace the word of God, chew on the word of God, hold on to it like a dog, and don't let go. But the name of this man, Caleb, also means to be faithful. It means to be committed. It means to be loyal. It means to be brave. It means to be bold. It's interesting that dogs have also that same characteristic. They can be brave. They can be bold. They can be faithful. They can be loyal. What part of what God has spoken are you holding on to? Or are you allowing yourself to be convinced of other things? Did you notice that those Israelites, when they came, they said, it's true. It's a good land. They started with a positive statement, and then they started talking negative. But one man who'd been there held on to the positive rather than the negative and said, there's too much positive here, too much good here for me to let go. I am going to go take it. We are well able to overcome all of these obstacles. Anybody not willing to take a risk will not experience the pleasures of victory. See, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is boldness in spite of fear. And therefore, courage, therefore, is very similar to peace. Because peace is not the absence of trouble or what you are afraid of. Peace is a calmness in spite of. We're not saying that there are no issues and problems in the world. No. We're saying that in spite of it, there is a God who well is able to equip and enable us to fulfill our divine destiny. Joshua was old. Joshua was defeated. Defeated in the sense that God had to keep on reminding him about what he needed to do. God never had to remind Caleb again. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'll tell you. Watch God. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3, God said to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Well, let's go to verse 5. He says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. This is God still talking to him. And now God says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto these people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Watch the next verse. Only be thou strong. God had to tell him again and again, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the word, the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Do you know God said of Caleb, Caleb, my servant? That's what he said. God said about Caleb, Caleb, my servant. But my servant, Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. My servant Caleb, Moses, my servant. What about Joshua, my servant? Listen, I'm not here poo-pooing Joshua. Please, don't get this wrong. I'm not tearing down Joshua. Not for any reason. Trying to get a point across. That God gave two men access to the promised land. God said to Joshua, Joshua, you're going to be the one dividing the land. But did we not just read that there were other people working with him to divide the land? He was not strong enough because he had to continue, and God had to remind him again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Turn not from it. Don't turn away from my word. To the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whichsoever thou goest. This is God speaking to Joshua, telling him what he needed to do. God did not have to tell Caleb nothing. Caleb, took what he had and ran with it. It is true that Joshua did great things. But there's something about this man, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, that we need to take notice of. But let's go on. It says, this book of the law. Notice God keeps on saying it again and again. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. May God never have to remind me about what I need to do. Let the word of God spoken into my life be a word that I receive once and for all. Not looking for another word. We are always looking for another word. Another prophetic statement. Another scripture. Another revelation. No. If that's all you're driving for, looking for another one and another one, you are not going to make it the way you should. You are going to get old and stricken in age and only accomplish some of what you are called to accomplish. May God bring you and I to that place where we are so dogged in our resolve, resolute in our passion for that which God has already done, and say, this is mine and nobody is going to take it from me. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. This is the way to do it. And the next verse says, have I not commanded thee? Can you imagine how many times now? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Let me remind you again. Caleb just needed one word. It is not in the preponderance of the words that we have and the prophetic statements that we've heard that our lives are forever changed. It is in our capacity to hold on to that word of God and say, this is what God said, and it is mine. Where's Caleb? This son of Jephunneh. The son of Jephunneh. Jephunneh means the one who has the capacity to face. He will be facing. The son of the one who is going to be facing. Facing what? Whatever challenge comes. Who is the son of Kenazite or Kenaz, the hunter. What does a hunter do? A hunter goes to hunt. You're not a hunter when the animal comes to you. You're a hunter when you go looking for the animal. So there is a track record here. But do you know that Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenazite, meant that Caleb was not a Hebrew. He was not a Jew. He was not an Israelite. You say, what? Yeah, he was not. The Kenizzites were his sons, came from the lineage of Esau. They were Edomites. But this man, his family, started connecting with the Jews, with the Hebrews, and they connected with a particular tribe. Do you know what tribe? The tribe of Judah. So Caleb, the Kenizzite, the Edomite, connected with a people of praise, bringing the sacrifice of joy, bringing the sacrifice of praise unto the Lord. This is how they connected, entering through praise. They connected with Judah. And when they connected with Judah, the Bible says Caleb was so connected with the tribe of Judah that when they sent the spies out, Caleb was the one that represented the tribe of Judah. Wow. 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 Caleb represents the tribe of Judah. A tribe that he did not belong to in the natural. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ said? He says, these prostitutes, these rogues, and all these sinners, they're going to enter before you guys. You see, sometimes we lay claim to whatever because I'm a Christian. But there are people today that are taking the principles of what they've heard from the Word of God, seen in the Word of God, and they are making good use, effective use of it. While those that it belongs to are still waiting. And then says, I am just as strong today as I was 45 years ago. I'm now 85. And I can still do it. What about you, Joshua? Joshua, God says, Joshua, you're old. You're stricken. You're one, you know, on every side. You can't make it, Joshua. May God never speak those words concerning you, concerning me. God had to remind him over and 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 over again and again and again about who it is that he was. Caleb knew who he was. Who's this Joshua? Joshua! Joshua is the one that went with Moses and stood when Moses left talking with God. He stood at the entrance of the tabernacle. What went wrong, Joshua? Joshua did not continue. You and I must continue. I must be stronger in my walk with God today than I was yesterday. And next year, I must be stronger yet. No matter what the challenges are, I must grow stronger and stronger and stronger in God. This is a challenge that faces you and I. God wants to take you and I somewhere so that we can possess our possessions in God. God wants to do a new thing in your life and in my life. God wants to transform us. How does he do that? By bringing us to a place where we log into the revelation of the things of the Spirit. See with our spiritual eyes and not just with our natural. What are you seeing? In Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, we read these powerful words. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed, the things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. What did God reveal? God revealed that where this man put his foot, that place was going to be his and for his children. He says that we may do all the words of this law. God reveals things to us so that we can do whatever it is that he says. In Proverbs, the 25th chapter, and the second verse, it says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. It is the honor of kings to search out a matter. Search it out. No matter how God conceals it, this is a king. A person who has that mindset that he has been anointed to be a king searches out a matter. He goes looking to find out the truth. The Bereans, they didn't just hear what was said to them. They went to confirm it. And one of the best things you and I can do, which is established through the statements of God towards Joshua, is this: to meditate on the word of God. When you meditate on the word of God, you become more and more like that word. You and I need your best friend needs to be the Word of God. During this time, with all of this and the shutdowns or lockdown, or whatever it is you want to call it, there's so many believers that have taken vacation from the things of God, taken vacation from studying the Word of God, taken vacation from fellowshipping with God, worshiping God, taking vacation from giving their resources unto the Lord and blessing the name of the living God. I'm not in church, so why should I give? Pastor can't see me. If that's why you give, then you got it all wrong. Bible says, give in secret, and the God who sees in secret will reward you openly. You must never separate yourself from the consistency that is found in the Word of God. The difference between these two men is stark. Yes, they both entered into the promised land. But Joshua was stricken in age that even God had to say, Joshua, you are old. You're old, Joshua. But Caleb could say differently. I'm 85 years old, but I'm just as youthful now as I was then. After something like this happened, let's consider the word of God found in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning to read from verse 21. Remember, the children of Israel saw themselves as grasshoppers. In Isaiah 40, beginning to read from verse 21, the prophet says, "Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Had it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth?" Four questions. "It is he that seated upon the circle of the earth, God, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers." "The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers." Not me seeing myself as a grasshopper before Anak, the long-necked giant. God says, "I see whatever there is there. They look just like grasshoppers. I'm the one that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity." I am the one who's in control. And whoever thinks they're in charge, let me let you know, I reduce people who raise their heads up to nothing. You know, there are people sitting behind their desk, whatever, sitting in boardrooms, sitting wherever they're sitting, congregating themselves together and plotting and planning on how they can do this thing over here and do that thing over here and do this over here and do that over there to create confusion. You know, you can plan whatever it is you want to plan. And right where you are, right where you are, your heart can stop ticking if God says, "You're done." God is sovereign and he reigns forever. And the people that know their God do exploits. The next verse says, "Yea, they shall not be planted. These arrogant fools who act like there is no God and that they are in control and we can do whatever it is we want to do, how we want to do it, when we want to do it, who can stop us?" There's a God who says, "You're not going to be planted. You are not going to be sown." Yea, he says, "Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble." I like this verse. Word of God says, "To whom will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal? Said the Holy One." Who are you going to liken me to? Or say I'm equal to? And he says, "Lift up your eyes on high. And behold, who had created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth." In essence, God is saying, look up. You see the things in the heavens? I know all of their names, the billions and the millions of them, the trillions of them. I know them all by name, and I place them there, and I keep them there by my power. Therefore, not one of them fails. God says to Abraham, look, tell the stars. And what God is saying to you and I is this, that we are like those stars. And God knows us by name, and not one of us will fail. Verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob? Why are you saying, Jacob? And why are you speaking, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. God doesn't care about me. I think God has forgotten me. He says, listen, don't be saying those kind of crazy, foolish stuff. Hast thou not known? Don't you know? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Watch those words. That God faints not. Watch it. God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, and God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is neither weary. There is no searching of his understanding. God does not fail. God is not weary. Is that what it just says? God fainted not, and God is not weary. Wow. I guess that's what Caleb was saying. I'm not faint. I'm not weary. I know my God. He's a God who keeps his promise. And there's no searching of his understanding that a small man like me will take this mountain and get rid of every giant over there, every monitoring spirit, every long-neck giant that seeks to look into my territory and tries to possess my possessions. They are going off. They must be cut down, because in this mountain of the Lord, there's going to be deliverance, and I will possess my possessions. Obadiah chapter 1. Listen to this next verse. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Youths faint, they be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. Oh, but watch this. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint, because they are like their God. Caleb was saying, those giants, they are not God over me. Like God, I will see them like grasshoppers. They are not going to be God over me, so that I see myself as grasshopper and they see me as grasshopper. No way, no way. I am going to give me this mountain. He didn't look for a valley and say, well, I guess I'm a little bit older now. Give me a valley, give me some plain land. I can't climb. No, he says, give me the mountain. I'm going to take it. You heard that there were giants there. But the giants that were there shall be no more. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. To have another spirit with him. Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me wholly. Followed me completely. Followed me. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with them. We need to be followers of God. We need to inquire of God. God, what are you saying about this situation? What do you need me to do in this time? How do you want me to do it? This is a time for us to inquire of God. Joshua comes to the promised land and he gets Jericho. And he moves on to go to Ai, or Ai. And when he gets to Ai, they are defeated, whipped. You know, this is like, how do I put this? This is like a class of kindergarten kids trying to play football against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers that are professionals. And these kindergarten kids whoop the professionals. Touchdown after touchdown and touchdown after touchdown. This was like Ai and Israel. Small little village. And they go there and they are defeated. And what does Joshua do? Joshua gets so upset. God, why did you do this to me? And God says, I didn't do nothing to you here. You did this to yourself. There's sin in the camp. Now Joshua had to inquire of God and found out what the problem was. This is the same Joshua that makes a deal with people, strangers, without inquiring of God first. What does Caleb do? And I'll wrap up with this thought. Remember Caleb. Caleb goes to Joshua. Joshua is busy dividing the land. Watch this. Joshua chapter 14. They are dividing the land, and tribe after tribe come, and Judah comes, and Caleb says, I got something to say. You know what Moses, the servant of God, said concerning me and thee? What happened? Caleb had been helping everybody else. He's been fighting with the enemy and getting rid of the enemy, and these people possess their turf, and those people possess their turf, and those people possess their turf. He's busy helping everybody because he recognized that God said to him that the place that he had stepped into, God was going to give to him. And as long as he was not there, he was not going to run ahead of God. Because he was not there yet, but he loved his brethren and was fighting to secure their position. You see, the Lord God says something. He said, if you are faithful in taking care of that which is another's, then I'll give you that which belongs to you at the fullness of time. One of the key things I understand that God wants me to do right now is to help others accomplish whatever it is they need to accomplish. If I see somebody that is doing something, I want to come alongside of them and help them make it happen. This one wants this, help them make it happen. This one wants to do that, I help to make it happen. Recognizing that God has an appointed place and an appointed time, and at the fullness of time, something is going to be welling inside of me that says it's time. And that was what happened with Caleb. He'd been helping everybody, and then came to the time, and God says, it's time for you. It's your turn. For somebody today, it's your turn. You've been helping this one, helping that one. But God had opened your eyes to see something so many years ago, and you thought, it's not possible anymore. No. When you follow God completely, it doesn't matter whether you are 40 or 45, 60 or 85, 90 or 100. At the fullness of time, God will bring you to that place and will strengthen you to accomplish everything that you need to accomplish. And that means always inquiring of God and not building your own kingdom. Don't build your own stuff. If you're doing any such thing, repent. Turn around. Because at the fullness of time, God will establish you. Caleb understood that. He was helping everybody else. And now that the lands were being distributed, everybody getting their part, he reminded Moses, there was a word. There was something. Yes, I am part of the tribe of Judah now. But there's a special holy place. It's up in that mountain over there. Give it to me. Give it to me. You know the interesting thing about it? Caleb saw those giants. And now was equipped to drive them out. In the name of Jesus, I declare that any giant operating or occupying your space, that they all come down. Be cut down. Let the sword of the Spirit of God in your life and in my life be energized now with the power of the Most High God, and let every monitoring spirit, every long-necked spirit, like the giants of Anak, let them be beheaded now in the mighty name of Jesus. By the authority of the word of God, every spirit monitoring the progress and the purpose of God for your life, we behead this very moment. You will possess your possessions by the authority of the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we call it so done. Psalm 103. Beginning to read from verse 1. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Hallelujah. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And watch this. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know what I think Caleb secret is? He kept on doing what God told Joshua to do. He kept on reflecting on the promise. I have a place God has ordained for me. I am going to possess that mountain. Every giant in there will come down. They will all be defeated, for I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. He reminded himself. He was speaking it out of his mouth, muttering on it. His mouth was satisfied with good things. And the more he was saying it, the more his youth has been renewed. What are you saying about yourself? Because if you are saying yourself, oh, I'm getting old and I've not accomplished it, that's what exactly you're going to get, old. Or you can see yourself young. You dress young. You walk young. You look young. You do whatever it is that you got to do that nobody can say about you. You're old. For you, age is just a number. And it doesn't matter. See, Abraham had his first child when he was so old. But guess what? After that, he had so many more children. Wow. You have more than enough to fulfill the mandate of God. I've been speaking for such a long time already. But I wanted you to consider the Caleb anointing. What makes the difference is you holding on to the word of God and running with it. Don't quit believing what God said. Amen. And amen. Father, I want to thank you for your manifold blessings and declare, God, that your goodness be revealed in our lives today. Lord, help us to always remember. Yes, we have heard, we have seen, and we do understand that you are God. And that you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. And that everything else is like grasshoppers before you. And Lord, oh God, we come and we connect with you as you are. And we see everything else like grasshoppers. We take our rightful place. And we continue in the integrity of your word. And we say, let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your communion with you, I'd like to just have communion with you at this time. Can you please bring me something? As we receive communion, we are sealing this word in our lives. Thank you. We're declaring that Caleb anointing, that grace to possess our possessions, come upon our lives. And that as we inquire of God, we will know God's timing. This is the body of the Lord. The Lord came at the fullness of time. kept on saying, I'm going to come. God kept on saying, I'm going to send a prophet. I'm going to send a Messiah. I'm going to send, I'm going to send, I'm going to send. And finally, at the fullness of time, he came. And he lived his life, recognizing his timing. And when they wanted to make him king before it was time, he walked right through. No, I'm going to do everything at the right time. God's timing is perfect. God's timing for your life is perfect. If whatever it is that you're looking for is not happening right now, don't give up hope. Just recognize that at the fullness of time, there will be a stirring inside of you that will reconnect you again with the visions of God. Sometimes those stirrings happen at strategic times to fire you up, to remind you again of what God said. But whatever it is God said, be it settled in your life that it is done, it is finished, it is accomplished. And be at peace. Take of this body and eat. He says, as often as you take of this body and you eat of it, do it in remembrance of me. Take and eat in Jesus' name. There is a cup of his established covenant. As you take of this cup and you drink, do it in remembrance of him. He's a covenant-keeping God. He kept his covenant with Caleb. The covenant was the commitment he made to Caleb. 45 years later, Caleb did not forget it, and God did not forget it. And just like God said, it was done. Take of this cup and drink, and remember, God is a faithful God. Praise the Lord. This time I want to encourage you to honor God with your giving. And as you honor God with your giving today, let God's manifold blessings come upon your life. Flourish in him. We're going to just wrap up this evening by listening to a prophetic declaration about the faithfulness of God. God is too faithful to leave you alone.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. What you say is what you do. You never fail, you never change. You are faithful till the end. Faithful God, I worship you. I worship you. You're too faithful to fail me. You're too faithful to disappoint me. You've proven yourself in my life, and I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me. Too faithful to fail me. Oh Jesus, you're too faithful to disappoint me. You've proven yourself in my life, too committed to leave me. Oh, Jesus, you are too consistent to leave me halfway. What you start, you always finish. Lord, I've come to realize that you are too faithful to fail me. What you start, you always finish. Lord, I'm here to testify. You're too faithful to fail.